I thought I'd go over a little bit about what we have sequenced so far. We've had a bunch of goals, and as of a few days ago, we had the sequence data back on 232 bulls. These were 167 of those were purebred AI sires that we had used in GPE. A lot of the cycle 7 breeds, and then the other smaller breeds that we're using in continuous GPE are also represented. And somewhere I lost the sight of the F1 bulls that we also, the rest of their bulls were F1 bulls that were crosses of the cycle 7 breeds. And from all that data, we discovered almost 35 million variations in sequence relative to the line 1 Hereford cow. Most of those are biallelic SNP, just simple SNP. There are about 1.5 million deletions. Larry just presented, we predicted 6,500 of these to be severe. Another 90,000 having a moderate effect, and most of the others are, some 35 million that are most probably benign. With all the sequences, it looks like we're covering most of the genome. 96, almost 100% of the SNP that are on the Illumina Bovine HD were detected in these data. And on average, we covered those positions twice for each bull. Some bulls were covered quite a bit deeper than others. But from that data, we are able to call genotypes. One strategy I used to look at, you know, there's one gene, the most likely genotype is called, and then there we have probabilities of that genotype actually being one of the other two. So I kept the call if the probability of those other genotypes was less than 0.25. So that means for all of these, if we had at least 4 to 5, if our coverage, we had at least 4 to 5 copies or 4 to 5x deep coverage at a position, we could usually call both alleles. And we might call a partial genotype where we can be sure that one allele is present, but we don't know what the other one is with less than 2x. You know, so our call rate's doing this. It's about 30% of the HD SNP we're called, both by marker and by bull. You know, if we look at it by marker, you know, half the markers were called it around that 25 to 35% call rate. We had a few, very few that were over 50% that were called in more than half the bulls, but you know there were a few that were called in up to 80% of the bulls. On the bulls, we had a lot of bulls under 10% call rate, and a few up, you know, 60, 70, up to one bull up to 97% of the HD SNP were called. You know, comparing the genotypes called from the high density chip to what we called from sequence, you know, for the HD genotype that's homozygous, we matched about 96% of those calls. There were a few where the call from sequence was for the opposite homozygote, and a few that were heterozygous calls. If the sequencing, or if the HD chip genotype is heterozygous, we didn't match as well. In a lot of the cases, most of the mismatches were for a homozygote, and a lot of missing those is related to depth. That, you know, we may have 4 reads for one allele, but when the, you know, so based on the probabilities, we say, you know, it's probably homozygous for that allele, but then if we had 4 more reads, they might all be for the other allele, and, you know, so increasing depth would, or increasing our stringency that we use to make these calls would increase the match rate. But we probably wouldn't, if we used a little less aggressive calling strategy, we wouldn't call as nearly as many genotypes from these data. Overall, we're getting about 93% agreement with genotypes called from sequence, and the jet data. So now we're, so that's what we, some SNP we already knew about. Now we have some variants that we're just seeing in these data. There are about 95,000 that I'll call interesting. These are the both the high impact severe variants as well as about the 90,000 moderate. Call rates aren't quite as high on these. I don't have a good explanation for that. You know, you see the, there are some of those that were called in up to 98% of the bulls. And allele frequencies for these are moderate. If you look at the full set of interesting variants, by breed, there's a few, a lower frequency of the alternate allele in the Hereford bulls, and that's probably because we're comparing to the Hereford reference. The Angus and Continental, the alternate alleles are a little bit more frequent, but if we look at these 12 bulls that are either Brahman or Indicus composite, the alternate alleles are quite a bit higher for, the 90,000 variants. The same pattern, but with the high impact variants, but they're, I was surprised to see that these were somewhat more frequent than the moderate variants. So where do we go from here on these? We're generating more sequence just on the exome for some of these bulls and progeny. That'll increase the depth covering the coding portion of the genome, so we should be able to call the interesting variants better, and that'll help with our both genotype call rates and that'll also give us more accuracy when we start trying to impute from our sequence variants to the rest of the population using pedigree and SNP chip genotypes. We also are doing some work with transcriptome sequencing what is expressed, and a lot of that's just giving us information about gene expression levels, and we can also detect variants that are expressed in the RNA. And just one example that some of my colleagues have done all the work on for this. It's a set of some RNA-seq on 16 steers that were selected for high or low gain, so we can contrast high and low gain, high and low intake, and high and low efficiency using RNA-seq from rumen papillae. And in that, there were 9 genes differentially expressed between the high and low gain groups, 15 between the high and low intake, and 6 genes between high and low efficiency. And those genes, they're, I tried to identify variants that were seen both in the RNA-seq and the bull sequence. And so we have what we had previously identified as interesting variants, as well as some variants expressed that the current annotation wouldn't, there wasn't anything in the annotation that would say that these expressed variants might have an effect, but they were detected in the expressed sequence. Think that's, and once we generate these kinds of data, we can we really need to do more assessing associations between these genotypes and phenotype. Some of the things where we have the reference sequence and genotypes to do it, we can impute our sequence genotypes through, using pedigree and our 50K and high density data to try to impute genotypes for these sequence variants in the rest of the population. We can also identify haplotypes containing the reference and alternate alleles in the same process, and identify haplotype, do more with haplotype effects, and especially for populations that lack the reference genotypes, we need doing work on directly genotyping for these variants. Some of what Dr. Thalman was referring to. Other strategies for genotyping these other mutations. So, I suppose if you have questions for either Larry or I, then I'll let.
Yes, sir, in the back.
Amanda, can you respond? She was wondering how you obtained the rumen papillae libraries.